So thank you, everybody, for coming. I'm glad to see a good showing from the press here. Rochester Students for Democratic Society has called a press conference to discuss the events that happened on October 7th in the protests and police surveillance on October 8th of Rochester Students for Democratic Society. We're going to start by reading a statement that Rochester SDS has prepared, and we also have a panel of comments, and then press can ask questions. We can answer from there. So, on Wednesday, October 7th, 2009, Rochester Students for Democratic Society called a protest 8 years of war and occupation in Afghanistan. We made three demands: U.S. out of Afghanistan and Iraq, demilitarize our schools, and money for education, not war. That means stop the budget cuts in Rochester. This protest was coordinated in conjunction with other chapters of SDS throughout the country as a national day of action. According to Time Magazine, 25 campuses across the country held protests against the war in Afghanistan. At 5:30, Rochester SDS called a Funk the War 2 march, a style as a dance party in the streets with drums and hula hoops that left from Washington Square Park and made its way to Main Street in downtown Rochester. At Main Street, the march headed west, taking up two westbound lanes on Main Street. At about 5:45, the peaceful march was disrupted by, according to police reports, 40 police cars. The police made their first arrest by wading through a group of protesters to pick up the only African-American student in the vicinity. This is a blatant example of the kind of racism and discrimination carried out on a daily basis by the Rochester Police Department, but rarely caught on camera. A press videographer was filming the arrest and said he was attacked by police, wrestled to the ground, and arrested. This was the second arrest. He was able to pass the camera off to a number member of the news organization, Rochester Indy Media, before he was taken down and handcuffed for unlawful assembly and obstructing government administration. The police action was a blatant violation of the right of free press. Without this video, it's unlikely the greater Rochester community would have trusted the students' account of excessive police force, since the media tends to, as a default, start with position of authority. While some officers were arresting the first individual, other police began to move on the crowd, visibly outraged and chanting, "Let him go, let him go." The police then attacked, beat, and arrested multiple students and community members, nearly all of whom were already on the sidewalk. During this stage of the action, police shoved, hit people with clubs, used pepper spray, slammed people into the ground, slams one woman's face into a light post, and punched at least one other protester. At least three protesters sustained injuries, two were hospitalized and received stitches. A woman with a three-year-old girl on her back was shoved by a police officer who was pursuing a student chanting on the sidewalk. Another alarming result of the police action was a small number of protesters who were nearly pushed off the Main Street bridge by police. In all, 12 were arrested. One of the arrests was dropped without charge, officer claiming, "I was just trying to make an example out of you." The police escalation included the injuries and arrests all happened in a time span of probably less than 3 minutes. If an order to disperse was given before the arrests were made, it was not heard by a majority of the protesters present, if anyone. Certainly no announcements were made on a loudspeaker, even though 40 cop cars were there, all equipped with speakers. While the police were beating and apprehending people, many individuals asked the police why they were taking the actions they chose. While the situation was quickly escalating, there were no police present who were trying to calmly discuss and de-escalate the situation. The typical response in this case from the police was aggressive yelling, and in some cases, protesters were met with clubs. The remaining protesters headed back to Washington Square Park on the sidewalk. They arrived to convene a meeting, which they were ordered by police to disperse. The officer then threatened to arrest everyone present for unlawful assembly, even though the protesters were in the park and the protest was clearly over. Protesters' right to free speech and peaceful assembly was brazenly violated on multiple occasions over the course of the October 7th events. Given the way the police reacted on October 7th, it's extremely important for all of us as members of the Rochester community to take a sober look at: 1. how extreme police tactics are used to escalate non-threatening situations and put peaceful civilians in harm's way. 2, how racism plays a prominent role, consciously or unconsciously, in the way law enforcement interacts with people of color. 3, how the First Amendment right to freedom of speech is blatantly not protected, but instead violated by law enforcement when the cameras are turned on them. 4, how the First Amendment right to freedom of speech and peaceful assembly is often not protected, but in fact violated by law enforcement. When people have a peaceful assembly, whether people have a peaceful assembly spontaneously or ask for permission weeks in advance, they should be protected, not attacked and intimidated by police. The Rochester Police Department, since October 7th, on October 8th, has been harassing members of Students for Democratic Society and sympathetic community members with a series of intimidating tactics, surveillance, and pulling over arrestees for seemingly random traffic stops. During a meeting discussed this October 9th press conference, 5 police cars surrounded the meeting in the Cornhill neighborhood, and one officer attempted to tape the meeting from his car. This police harassment surveillance was filmed, and we'd be happy to release it to members of the media or city council or anybody else who's interested. Given the way the police reacted on October 8th, that's yesterday, it's extremely important that we take a good look at police intimidation and harassment of people who openly question police tactics and actions. We call on Rochester City Council to commence a special meeting to discuss the police tactics on October 7th and police intimidation and surveillance on October 8th. In this special meeting, we demand those involved in the October 7th and October 8th events, police and civilians, be able to address the council directly. We do not think the City Council can come to any real conclusions if they only hear from the perpetrators of violence, not the victims. In addition, we are calling for a civilian review to investigate the police actions on October 7th and October 8th. In addition, we'd like to clear up some police and sometimes coming through the media misinformation. From the beginning, the police have flooded the media with misinformation, and unfortunately, the media have often reported accusations as if they were facts, not simply police allegations. It's especially alarming to see the media take the position, taking the police line as the default truth in a situation where unarmed civilians were severely injured by police and not one police officer claimed a scratch. Although there are many inaccurate police statements floating around the current media reports, we would like to address just 3 of the more serious misreports. False statement number 1, protesters blocked a fire truck. This has become one of the most popular attempts of the police and some media to discredit protesters and give a public impression that peaceful protesters endangered other people. Indeed, at about 5:40 p.m., a fire truck came down St. Paul Street. When protesters at the corner of St. Paul and Main saw the fire truck, they halted their march, stopped chanting, voluntarily backed off St. Paul, and allowed the fire truck to pass. When the fire truck passed, the marching and chanting resumed. This event was filmed by Rochester Inter Media, and the clip has been posted. Although all the media have access to this clip, some media that report this allegation of protesters blocking a fire truck fail to show the clip on their news programs to falsify the police allegations. Interestingly, when the entire Rochester Indy Media clip was shown to all those present at the city council meeting, the deputy police chief dropped the accusations of police blocking a fire truck, presumably because this would have questioned his credibility in front of the entire council who saw the video. False statement number 2. The police's extreme use of force was a response to the use of force by protesters. The police and media have often portrayed the protesters as somehow being the source of violence, thereby implying the police response was justified. There's a very disturbing trend in the media that we are well aware that the police were fully armed with guns, pepper spray, and clubs, and the protesters were unarmed. Although many protesters had signs, hula hoops, and drums, they were used for recreational, not aggressive purposes. This is not a simple case of our word against theirs. We believe a careful investigation of the facts calls into question the entire police narrative. For the most part, and is perpetuated by the media sometimes to the public. As all records show, the first arrest of a student marching in the street was charged with unlawful assembly. Not only did the student act nonviolently, he was not charged or accused of using force with police. The second arrest was of the videographer filming the arrest of this student. He was tackled and restrained. Despite the heavy hand attacks of this police, he was again nonviolent. From there, the police attacked many individuals. When the police officers were questioned on the scene, they had been beat were questioned on the scene why they had beaten and arrested protesters. They had said protesters were arrested because of, quote, unlawful assembly and swearing. Only after RPD surveyed the entire situation and realized that they had overreacted with approximately 40 police cars, injured many protesters, and failed to confiscate the media tape that claimed they begin to claim that the protesters actually instigated violence. Although the case for protester-initiated violence never added up from the beginning, many of the media instinctively ran with the police narrative without questioning the facts on the ground. October 7th, protesters acted significantly different from police from previous protests in Rochester, and that's why the police used harsh crowd dispersal tactics. The general character of the protest called on October 7th was almost identical to a protest Funk the War won on March 19th, 2009 in Rochester, the sixth anniversary of the United States military invasion of Iraq. The main difference between the two events was that on October 7th, police responded with excessive presence, 40 police cars, excessive force, beating nonviolent protesters. On March 19th, Rochester SDS called for an unpermitted march to protest the war in Iraq. Rochester SDS and supporters took an almost identical route down Main Street, entered the street twice on Main Street, going both west and east to the Liberty Pole. Just like on October 7th, the protesters were peaceful. However, unlike October 7th, no protesters were attacked by police and no one was arrested. As the recent March 19th protest demonstrates, it's simply untrue the police acted with extraordinary force because the October 7th protest was unpermitted or that the Rochester Police Department was not used to this type of march. As horrible as the police brutality on October 7th was, these actions are small compared to what people of color experience from police every day in the city of Rochester and minuscule compared to what Afghani people have had to suffer for 8 years by the U.S. military bombing and occupation of their country. We hope the irony isn't lost in observers that a march for peace was attacked violently by police. Our protest was about U.S. state violence abroad, and unfortunately, the Rochester police tried to bring the war home on October 7th. Fortunately, slices of violence were captured for the world to see. We hope this is a catalyst for future organizing to come. Advocates for peace and social justice need not be intimidated by police repression. Instead, we must strengthen our resolve and link arms in the struggle against all forms of oppression. We call on all concerned citizens that are affected by police misconduct on a day-to-day basis to contact Rochester SDS and other student organizations so we can create a sustained community of struggle around all these issues. The people are unstoppable. Another world is possible.